Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to AU Radio. I'm Greg.
I'm Corey.
George.
Ian.
Travis.
I'm Katie.
Katie, Travis, Ian, George, Corey.
That's me.
That's you?
For a second, it is.
For a second, it is. Yeah, we're gonna switch gears here for just a second. Hey, welcome to episode 11 of the AU Radio podcast. Our special guest joins us, and you are, sir?
Richard DeMaurice.
Hey, you're back again.
Yep.
So before we kind of get into the thick of things, Richard DeMaurice, what you got going?
So I'm really here to talk about what we're doing on Friday at Adventures Underground, which is starting our Starfinder Society, kind of run through. We're having a character creation day and running some adventuring quests. So it allows people to come in, try Starfinder as a role-playing game. It's each little element's about an hour and a half long. So people can come in, join up, play. If they want to try out Starfinder, see what's going on. We'll have pre-generated characters. We're kicking off the day with a character creation session and talking about Starfinder Society and its rules versus, say, a home game or even, like, you know, regular play where else. Because with organized play and public, it does have a little bit of rules modification. But with this, it's not much. But we'll cover that and starting at 10:30 a.m. And then we kick off our quests at noon.
So it's kind of a jump in and let's play and let's get things learned.
Exactly. That's what the quests are designed to do, is help new players come in, pick up new rules, and then carry on. And so with the pre-generated characters, anybody can stop in. It's about an hour, hour and a half out of their day if they just want to play a small session, or they can play the total of five quests that we'll have throughout the day.
That's cool. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago with this is kind of the spacey offshoot of the D&D kind of world, right?
Pathfinder.
Yes,
it's,
yeah.
It's definitely, like I said, it's like my first read-through was Star Wars meets Conan.
Right.
It's still kind of still there. It's a little bit of fun. It's we ran these in a home setting just last week. Really easy to pick up. Really
cool.
Quick to run through. So I think everybody who shows up will have a good time.
And that's Friday morning, which is when this podcast actually will air for most folks around the world. Those folks in China might want to get busy getting those plane tickets now.
Yeah, get that TARDIS so they can go back in time and drive on that.
I think you get going. Awesome, dude. Well, you know, good luck with that, and appreciate you popping in and saying hey.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure that we kept your audience informed because we did talk about it. So figured it was a good spot to bring it up some more.
Always, you know, just drop us a note or whatever you got going. We appreciate it.
Excellent.
Hey, thanks, Richard. Appreciate
that.
And
now,
thank you. Corey.
Yeah, yeah. Now here's Corey.
Corey is himself again. I wish I wasn't working. I really want to. I want to take part in that. I might do it after
I've seen you work.
No one has ever actually seen that.
Yeah, what? But you'll be able to just like creepily linger around the bookshelves. You know, occasionally just peer around the corner at people
longingly.
Like, yeah. Just walk back and forth in front of the door.
Was that a 14-year-old there? What's your modifier?
Or if we have any creepy people in the story, just like quietly goes over and goes, hey, are you finding everything okay? As loud as you possibly can.
I do. I get kind of boomy with them just to draw attention. Anytime there's like some sort of suspect or suspicion of hinkiness, I like to make the situation as awkward as humanly possible. It's my first and foremost tactic.
So you ratchet it up, like,
oh, I'm loud anyway.
Well,
and then like,
now everybody's gonna suspect that you're suspecting them.
So I'm like, gonna.
Why are you talking so loud, bro?
Knowing that, I'm just going to really talk loud at everybody I know.
Hi, how's it going?
Yeah, we'll walk in the front door down here and it'll be. Hey,
I could step back and do it. And
I know. You peg my meters and my earphones would come flying off. And
the glasses just shoot off. Of
a lot of cool things going on this last week. I mean, although it was a bit of a slow news week as far as the world of geekdom here goes.
Oh, I beg to differ.
No, you're going to get into some things. I know you were sharing some things with me. This weekend,
A T-Rex. We have a T-Rex.
What?
That's exciting.
Ooh.
Dress anyone? No? Nothing? No love for John Hammond.
Is it potty trained? That's what I want to know.
So,
no.
So I do get the reference. I just didn't realize that's what you were doing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was that bad. Oh, actually.
I just thought you were like, we have a T-Rex. I am now intrigued.
Join the club.
Got a fun big topic to we'll bring up here in just a couple of minutes, but I did want to reference the fact that coming up this next week is Portland Comic Con, and I didn't realize it until really kind of too late to make plans to go down, but our resident Portland Comic Con genius is going to be there, and we expect George a full report coming up next week.
Corey, are you okay to take care of my piggy?
Yeah, I'm going to watch Cecil.
All right, well then you'll get that full report.
Okay, all right. I was told you were going, correct?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Yeah, is there a particular reason you're going? Is there somebody that you're going to see or?
I had been hesitant to the point of actually considering not going this year just because their list of comic book creators was pretty weedy. Like, it was not very big and they didn't have a whole lot of people. The few that they started out with were interesting, but I've seen them multiple times. Now that they're, you know, literally imminently going to all be there, they have added like dozens of other people that I am interested in going to see and getting things signed and talking to and whatnot. And it's the Northwest Conventions, Rose City Comic Con, the one going on in Portland here coming up, and then Emerald City Comic Con are widely regarded as some of the better, like, floppy single issue comic book heart of gold like conventions that really kind of go out of their way to make sure that creators have, you know, a welcome opening door and all that kind of stuff, and everybody seems to be having a really, really good time. You don't get too many of those people that are hating their lives while they have to sign 100 books from the same person. So yeah, it's gonna be great.
I've seen some of those before.
Yeah, there's nothing like a sad convention face of the person who's just like, right, I have to pee, my hand is tired. I've been signing left-handed for about 4 hours now, and I still haven't had a chance.
For the past 20 books, it wasn't even my name.
I've just been seeing if people notice.
I'm now Claudia Schiffer.
Or the Leonard Nimoy. Do you remember the Leonard Nimoy situation?
Well,
it was a long time ago.
It was a very quick handshake because things earlier.
Speaking of having to go, he had to go, and that was our quick introduction to Leonard Nimoy, which was interesting. A friend of mine, Tim Russ, who played Tuvok on Voyager, Star Trek Voyager. Mm-hmm. Tim shared with me as we were out on a scuba diving trip one time. We were sitting talking about cons and that kind of thing, and he and the actor, and I can't think of his name right now, that played Neelix on the show, used to sit and sign each other's pictures. So
awesome.
Well, there was that one episode of Voyager where they got transported together and became Tuvix or Tupac or
I want to see that episode.
It's a whole different show.
Really bad.
It's the second time we thought about Tim Russ dressed up like Tupac. I want to see this happen.
No.
Please, Tim.
A couple of other folks going to be at Rose City include Peter Capaldi, who is, you know, who cares anymore because he's not Doctor Who anymore.
Man.
Hey, but go back and watch In the Loop.
Cut right to the bone, why don't you?
Oh, sorry about that. Felicia Day is going to be there. Weird Al, Brent Spiner, Burt Ward, Butch Patrick, if anybody remembers Butch from the Munsters, little Eddie Munster.
Yeah.
And I thought Ian was going to jump over the moon when I said that John DeLancey was going to be at the show. You wanted to get a picture with him, right?
I didn't make it over the
moon. Not quite.
No. Yeah, I definitely want to get another picture with him because notice I said another. I had an amazing interaction with John DeLancey. This sounds like a bad story. It's a good story. Long time ago when I met him, he... was a very genuine, kind person, and just a very good experience with a celebrity. As far as just a starry-eyed kid, you know, somebody that actually lives up to, like, oh, you're a person that I see on the TV and on the box, what with the moving pictures and all.
And it's the picture is John, who is 6'3", I think, something like that. And Ian at the time, I don't remember how old you were, but you weren't
not very
the height that you are now.
Oh, I like the picture. I'm always that height.
Just imagine him being...
I started at this height and yeah. I just grew down.
Just imagine him being 10, but just as tall as he is right now.
Like Benjamin Button, but not boring.
Not boring.
We're savage this week. We're mean.
I like the reference though, the growing down reference that you just threw out there.
Little Norton Juster. Anybody? Phantom Tollbooth?
Yeah.
I read it as a child.
Oh, a long time ago.
Yeah. Oh boy. So many word games in that.
I love that book.
So yeah, gonna be a good show. And yes, George, we do expect to have the full Monty.
Okay. I'm gonna send you with a Scotty Young comic though.
Okay. If you can. Sounds good. I will only be going for one day, so it won't be as full of a report as if I was going for the entire weekend, but I'll see what I can do.
We expect a lot of that 24-hour period, okay?
Right. You're our correspondent.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we get you like a buttonhole camera or something? Like a little...
Just a fedora that has a little press tag in it.
I will not wear a fedora.
Like the old school. That's where I draw. Like a Daily Planet one.
Sorry, let me also rephrase. I will not wear a hat.
I forgot about that.
Not even like your wizard's beanie or something?
Well, a wizard hat is different. If somebody got me a wizard hat with a camera in it, hell yeah, I'd wear it. Sorry. Heck yes. I would. Apologies for last week. Sorry.
Hell's okay.
Okay. All right.
We're okay with hell.
All right. I would absolutely wear a wizard hat that had a camera in it if somebody wants to hook that up.
He's like shirtless bear fighter, but instead of shirts, it's hats.
My one weakness.
And that was Travis. That's the last time you'll probably hear from him tonight. Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah, just
I like that you responded quietly.
Glad this is not on video.
I'm not gonna invalidate your point, but I'm going to insult you.
So what's going on this week in store? We had a great night the other night with
Nerdcore night last night was so good.
Nerdcore was so fun. This was my first exposure to the genre at all. I had never heard any nerdcore songs. I'd never been introduced to it at all.
Because she doesn't pay attention when she's at work.
I guess, no. But absolutely check out Shubzilla. Absolutely check out Beefy. Absolutely check out Death Star. That was one of the funnest nights I've ever had working in the cafe. That was amazing. A lot of the stuff we can't talk about because it's not an After Dark episode, but...
But it was a whole lot of fun. It was really, really cool. Beef kind of came out of performance retirement. He's been putting out songs for the past few years, but it hasn't performed in 6 or 7. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
And so it was really cool. And he came out and didn't miss a step, just ran with it. And it was really, really cool. We had a really good, like everybody came out. We had a really good turnout. It was so much fun. And, you know, I'm a fanboy. That's my favorite genre of stuff. So, like, these guys rap about stuff I know. Yay.
Oh, yeah. I missed it, but I really wanted to be there. And when I saw photos, I just wanted to see your face, Greg, really, honestly.
Yeah, it's a little bit outside of my genre. I know. Guess.
You were kind of skulking in the corner a little bit last
night. I was, yeah.
Death Star dropped a song that was called 16 Tons that went to the beat of the old... You know, 16 tons, and what do you get? But it's all about, you know, our dedication to hoarding pieces of plastic shaped like stuff from other things.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like buying a trophy.
Yeah, buying a trophy. Yeah.
End of sentence.
I win. It was rad. It was just about, you know, like, oh, I've got this many Star Wars figures and this and that.
Let's not talk about my Dumbledore, okay? Hey, and for those of you that can't see the studio here on the video cast, is there a video cast? No, there's not.
Not yet.
But we're in the process. If you did check out the AU Radio Facebook page, yeah.
Oh, God, I have to get ready.
The studio is starting to take shape.
Yeah, it's looking good in here.
You could be like Slipknot.
I'll just put on a rubber mask or something. Really don't feel like doing my hair.
Yeah. you wear Travis's Lucha mask.
We could absolutely do this whole thing like Luchas. I would be okay with that.
You could be El Katie Bisto.
Can we just have a Lucha
so
cast?
So about that.
Just like one special one?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Nice. I'll be gone that week.
I'll be Greg that week.
Okay, there you go. That's the week I'm going to England, George. Okay? All so right. There. Yeah, just be George. So big topic this week I want to bring up. Big topic this week is The Missing. All right. So everybody's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Famous lost works, whether that be books, movies, television Prince's shows, recordings. So the one
Ark
that.
Of Covenants.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. You know, and the thing I love about that show is somebody brought it up to my attention is the fact that if Indiana Jones wasn't.
Don't do it.
No,
don't
okay. Do it. All right.
I hate that theory so much because it's so accurate and I hate it.
Okay, now I need to know what it is.
I hate it because it's accurate. If. Okay.
Go do it.
Try and stick your fingers in your ears. Okay. If Indiana Jones is not in that show at all, if you took Indiana Jones out of that show, the end result would be the same thing.
He does literally nothing to impede the plot of that film.
Yeah, they succeed.
Oh, no.
And open the Ark just like they would have anyway.
And then the spirits come out, the dude's face melts, it ends exactly the same.
It's so good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're right. Oh,
man. That's my favorite Indiana Jones movie.
No, he matters.
It makes me so...
It kind of changes your perspective on Indiana Jones a little bit, doesn't it? Like, you know, he's going to hurt himself, so just let him go over there. And... He can have a cap gun. The guy will fall down when he pulls it on him. The guy with the sword, because the sword would actually hurt him, but the cap gun will fall down. And everybody will be convinced.
All right. Well, that's the brain wrinkle for the week.
It was like a Truman Show-esque.
Yeah.
Set up by the Nazis. It was actually engineering. Oh, wow. We're going places.
I don't know if that holds true for the other movies, the other two, but I know for the first one, if you watch it with that in mind, it will blow your mind. It's like, who is this guy?
Why am I here? Yeah.
Speaking of lost works, Indiana Jones 4? Anybody? Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? How do we feel about that?
What are you even talking about?
I know, it should have been lost.
Yeah.
It's another blood pact we have. So, we don't talk about
that. So I convinced myself coming out of the theater that I had liked it. I was wrong, but I tried really hard, and then I started having those South Park flashbacks like they do.
South Park may have actually ruined that one for me. But back to the topic at hand, though. The one that I always hear about is, please remind, I said, not London After Midnight.
London After Midnight.
Which is Lon Chaney, which you see pictures of him dressed up like the ghoul, but the film's gone, right?
The film, the only thing that's left of the film are just a few stills. And I think there was a script. And so they've put together, you know, stills and script enough that there's a working sort of version of it, but... He's like a vampire from...
How was that not a name of a Bauhaus record? Like, that's perfect.
London After Midnight, yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those famous things that is just gone. And I got to doing a little digging, too, is J.R.R. Tolkien. If it hadn't been for son Chris, there's a lot of things that would not have been...
Well, everything since 1974.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silmarillion. Yeah. What's the latest one? The Children of...
The Beren and Lúthien just dropped last month.
Right.
You know.
Wow.
Children of Húrin was another one, I think.
Children of Húrin, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of them.
Lost Tales.
Yeah.
Literally.
So,
volumes 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And television programs, the entire first season of... Well, except for two episodes of The Avengers, the British Avengers with John Steed and Emma Peel. Mm. Emma Peel is not in the first season. And John Steed sort of is, but it's another character altogether. That's
really?
Yeah. And those are gone. I think there's two episodes that have survived.
Interesting.
Hmm. BBC was traditionally terrible at keeping their archives complete. Doctor Who has the same problem. There's a whole swath of Doctor Who episodes that are just gone.
It's like 108.
Weird. Right?
Yeah, over the period of like 5 years.
Yep. Because somebody just took it home or...
No, I think to make space, they would just discard. As far as I know, that might be hearsay at this point, but
that's what
correct me if I'm wrong, Rick.
Well, they discarded their entire building for a while. Oh,
that's actually, I mean, really accurate. Like the transition from the silent film era to the talkie era was... sort of a similar scenario. Well, I don't know what it was with the BBC, but you know, they essentially thought, hey, we have new movies, we have a new format, you know, like throw out the DVDs and Blu-rays, look, they're also circular, but they shine different colors. You know, it's the same sort of like leaving behind how many movies could you get on VHS that you can't get now, like the what's the one with Ron Howard's brother, the Ice Cream Man. Can you still get that one? Where it's the Clint Howard.
Clint Howard.
I can still see the cover of this film where he's holding.
He's going to be in Han Solo, right? We talked about that.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
I just like thinking about Clint Howard sometimes.
You know,
just what? Like in mid lunch, you're like,
Clint. I don't do that very often, man.
Well, you say his name three times in the dark in a mirror and he shows up, so.
Oh, God.
Of all the people.
You weren't supposed to say that out loud now.
Now people are going to try it and it's going to happen.
Oh, God.
Clint Howard.
My very own Clint.
Clint Howard. Dude,
you conjure awesome. Clint, you deal with the consequences.
But you have to deal with his agent first, and that's just horrible.
Fine. It's Ron Howard, right?
Right.
Back in the 70s, mid-70s, I guess, I was part of my first rock and roll band back in the Midwest, and we had one of those live local programs on the television that was the Joyce Livingston Show. And Joyce was this bubbly, effusive kind of woman that, was always doing, cooking things or sewing things or talking to guests that were part of the Wichita, Kansas crowd. Wichita being a fairly large city at the time, our little band won a chance to be on the show. And so we went and did our little two shows, and it was just fascinating. And I watched it live live on tape when it aired like a week later. And here a few years back, I actually got a hold of Joyce and said, is there any chance that still exists? And she says, no. They just took the videotapes, like you were talking about Doctor Who, and just reused them.
Oh, wow. I used to work at a TV station. That was part of my job.
Yeah.
Was to just grab stacks of tapes and take them over to the big magnet.
A bulk eraser.
And
yep.
Just chuck it.
You were an executioner.
I was.
Killed all those things. Yes, Katie from the podcast.
Yes, Katie from the podcast. I could be totally 100% wrong on this, but if I'm not mistaken, that kind of happened a little bit with Pantera. Because before Anselmo...
back when he was Diamond Daryl.
Or something. Yeah. Before Anselmo got to the band, this was kind of like the peak of hair metal days. And that's what they were for their like early days of Pantera. And then Phil Anselmo showed up and he was like, no. We're going to go a different way with this. And then thus the Pantera that we know today was born. And to this day, they're just kind of trying to bury that as hard as they can with their makeup and their zebra print.
So does that fall into this? Are we talking about the things that have been covered up because Disney doesn't want to talk about Song of the South?
Yeah.
That may actually be better.
in a lot of ways. Like, I mean, Styx was the first record they put out, Lady. Cannot be included in the rest of their catalog because it was with a different label.
Mm. Yeah.
So it has to be, they have now Styx, whatever year it was that they redid the song, but they redid it with some minor changes.
So I was wondering why there was a different version of that song.
Yeah.
I noticed that. That's interesting.
Yeah. And I don't, that's not necessarily a lost thing. You know, the same kind of thing with the Pantera is not necessarily lost, but, Jerry Lewis, we just lost Jerry Lewis this week or so ago, comedian Jerry Lewis, and he did a film mid to late 70s, I believe. I'm probably wrong about that, and you can email me and tell me I'm wrong, but it was called The Day the Clown Died, and it was one of those that was just kind of so bad that it didn't see the light of day, and supposedly the only surviving copy was owned by Jerry Lewis. Mm-hmm. And now that he's gone, who knows? Maybe that will wind up seeing the light of day. I don't know.
So I just found this one out. It's funny that you bring this up because it's literally a couple days ago I found this out. There was a lot of, speaking of the BBC, British comedies that got turned into pilots in the US. And you'll get these, they don't get picked up. Because it doesn't work because they've tweaked it and messed with the chemistry or whatever. There's actually an entire TV show, Episodes, that had Matt LeBlanc on it that was about that.
Oh, cool.
But it was a really cool show. But I was messing around on IMDb the other day because I was watching the IT Crowd.
Oh God!
And I found out they did a U.S. pilot for the IT Crowd.
Your life was a little better off before you.
It absolutely was, and then it has the dude from Community on it.
Yeah, it does.
As Roy,
it's so bad.
Oh, I guarantee you it's bad. They did an American Red Dwarf as well.
So the funny thing about that IT Crowd script, it's exactly the same.
It's the first episode, yeah.
It is word for word.
Well, it wasn't
the same thing.
Wasn't Coupling the same way? There was the British comedy The Coupling that they wound up doing the American version of the same thing.
Yep.
I think, and it may be first script or two are almost.
Same thing with The Office. I mean, well, I guess it wasn't script, it wasn't verbatim, but the first season of the U.S. Office is remarkably similar to the U.K.
Only
office.
Less awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually.
But yeah, I just... There's
certain expectations out of the British? Is that what it is?
No, if you watch the first season, the British Office is awkward.
It's hard to watch. It can be hard to watch. Just Ricky Gervais plays... I mean, the same guy that Michael Scott, that character, is in the American one. But he's even worse than the American version as far as awkward, really, really painful things just coming out of his mouth at all times. Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right. They did that one as well.
Interesting.
Yeah.
In 1994, there was a contract issue on a movie. And I can't remember the entire story, but the movie wound up going to a guy named Roger Corman, and they needed to make this movie, and it had originally a $30 million budget. Corman made it for $1 million, and it was called The Fantastic Four. And no one since then has seen Reed Richards in that particular version. I saw the pilot or the trailer.
Yeah, it was R-rated.
Yeah.
For one thing.
Oh. As only Roger Corman could do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Red Skull's makeup was pretty excellent. He's no Hugo Weaving, but
so there was a time in the early 2000s, the dawn of interneting, where you could find pretty actively some stuff from that, and you could find there was the old there was a Captain America that they did that was
The TV awful. Show. Wow,
Red Skull and Fantastic Four. Good Lord. My apologies.
That's what you were talking about.
I just doubted myself.
Yeah, yeah.
How dare I?
But
must have been the Red Skull from the Captain America show.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I forgot that there was... Wow.
But there are bootlegs out there of it that you can find.
Oh, yeah.
And it's... heinous.
Oh, I watched the original Captain America, and
no, I'm talking about the Fantastic Four.
Oh, well, no, I haven't seen that.
I heard that they only made that movie just so they could keep the rights in house for a little longer until they actually had the chance to make a better movie.
I believe that was accurate.
I think that's probably what it was. Yeah, I knew it had something to do with those things, but yeah, that's just kind of crazy that they do those things.
So I need to go off topic for just a second.
Yeah.
And this isn't mine to call out. It was brought to my attention, but I wanted to rant about it beforehand. Why in God's name do we need a Joker origin movie outside of the canon of the rest of the DC universe?
Thank you.
Is this happening? Does anybody have anything on this?
Martin Scorsese is attached.
Yeah.
Save it? I mean, it's...
I don't know.
It just means that Leonardo DiCaprio will play the Joker.
Oh, come on.
We did the thing. We mentioned the bat. We got to do it. But one of my favorite Joker storylines ever was Endgame, where the Joker went to Arkham and just gave everybody a different origin story of his, and whoever fought to the death, I think it was, that was the story that he was going to go with. The whole point was that you didn't know. The whole point was that
he doesn't know.
That he has no idea. So why would you... It's the whole mystery. It's the, like, what made this person what he is.
Well, we've been there before. I mean, it was addressed in the very first, you know, Batman. You know, so
it doesn't need to be done at all.
It's not
necessary. I like the idea that you're talking about.
Right.
If, okay, let's do an origin story with
five different origin stories. Right. You know, which one's true? Nobody knows.
Right. But my whole thing is that he doesn't need to have one in the Joker that has just been mutated throughout the decades.
I tend to agree.
Yeah.
I tend to agree.
I didn't mean that. It's been sticking to my cross as we were talking about it earlier.
Maybe that needs to be in a lost episode or
something. Yes. On point.
Right.
So we're talking about lost media. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Prince having just a vault of things.
Right.
Whole albums, whole movies, whole documentaries of his stuff that will never see the light of day. Do you think that over the years they're going to have a Bram Stoker situation where they just have a legal battle to get that stuff released eventually?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just yes.
Yeah. That'll be cool.
You never know in those situations. Yeah. One of the things that I uncovered as I was doing some research this week was that Ernest Hemingway was, his wife was on her way someplace and she had a piece of luggage with her, taking a train, and the luggage was filled with manuscripts, pieces, almost a complete manuscript, and it was pilfered somewhere along the line.
Oh my God, man.
And so who knows?
Out there, there's just floating around all this Hemingway writing that's never seen the light of day because some guy was a jerk.
Somebody, picked this thing up.
He probably thought it was like jewelry or something and didn't know what he had in his hand, so he probably just tossed it.
Well, probably. Not quite the same thing as Prince, we know where that stuff is, but and I would guess that down the road we would probably see bits and pieces as the estate of Prince needs more money.
Well, see, my thing about on this topic that comes up is I want to see like versions of things that we have. But maybe it's not what it originally was going to be.
Like the Beatles anthology thing that came out a number of years back.
Yeah. Where you get, maybe influence from studio and they come in and, you got to change this. Well, let's see. I want to see what the original, but Blade Runner is a perfect example of that. Blade Runner's had, 25 cuts now?
Oh, yeah.
I think five total, but
has that feel, though.
Yeah. Just let me see the original intent, before you...
Yeah. Massacre it. And with music, that's really an interesting process, to see where it started and then where it winds up. With the Beatles, I mean, what was it? Was it Long and Winding Road that Phil Spector wound up getting his hands on? They handed it to Phil Spector and said, here, finish this. Because I think that's when the Beatles were in their process of the split up. And Phil Spector included, the strings and the chorus, the heavenly angels singing and all those things. And Paul, in later years, said, it's not what I intended at all. So
okay. You guys got it all wrong.
So along the same lines with talking about lost things, sequels that never got made.
The Nicolas Cage Superman, anybody?
Shut up.
I immediately apologize.
Biggest punch in the gut is always going to be Dredd.
Yeah.
Was that not good? I didn't see that.
No, Dredd was amazing.
Okay.
Jeez, sorry. I owe you a cold.
Jeez.
No, we're very emphatically in love with that movie, and we're sad that it didn't get a sequel because that one deserved it.
I feel very attacked right now.
He campaigned so long to try and get it done, too.
Yeah, Carl Urban did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hellboy 3, which, is kind of happening, but.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman and Guillermo del Toro really wanted to do one more.
Yeah.
Well, the second one, they left it so open for that. They were so ready to do that. You could see it from the plot line, but it just never happened.
How about Buckaroo Banzai, where it was teased at the end of the show?
Oh.
Where are we going?
We were just talking about that earlier this week, though. That was going to be a sequel to Big Trouble in Little China, originally. Yes. So it's not only did it lose a sequel, it lost its own sequel of its own design.
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine Kurt Russell and Jeff Goldblum in those Willy Chaps in the same movie. Oh my God. That'd be just tremendous.
I know what I'm going home and drawing when I get home.
Oh, there you go.
Dibs. I want that one.
So
Show me Jack and wow.
I'm gonna say the V word. There's a video game franchise that I am a huge fan of. Silent Hill that happened too. And it was the saddest thing I've ever seen. They did a teaser trailer. They did beta testing. They released all the videos for the beta testing for Silent Hills. Norman Reedus was going to be the main protagonist in it. And the creator got told, this is too scary.
Oh, really?
The beta testers were like, this is too scary. This is too... Which only...
Two people died.
No, that's the thing. And so it got hyped up so much that everybody was so excited for it to the point where Konami was like, no, you have to make it less scary. And he was like, absolutely not. This is my project. Wow. I've always had full creative control with this. So he was like, okay, well, we're just going to do something else. We're just going to bring somebody else on. He's like, fine, you can do that. So once they heard that the original creator wasn't working on it, everybody was like, we want no part of this. So now it's just not happening.
So the perfect topic to go along with that, since we're on video games and talking about lost work, the E.T. Atari game.
Actually, there was supposed to be an E.T. sequel movie.
Really?
Yes. But then, talk about the game.
And they made Aliens.
That's if Andy goes to try to visit.
E.T. grows up.
That's if Elliot tries to go visit
so
E.T.
Now my brain has just created this thing where the E.T. alien is actually like their limbs just fall off and their body is the egg.
Oh.
I like it. It's already kind of translucent.
Yeah, exactly, dude. That's where it just...
Oh, John Carpenter needs to come back to life and do that.
Oh, yeah. E.T. meets the Thing. Just E.T.'s head splits open and tentacles are waving everywhere.
Dude!
Now you know what you're going to draw when
Greg,
you get home.
Greg, do you want to work on a project with me?
There we go.
Let's just John Carpenter all the things.
Yes.
Can we have a soundtrack to him too?
Oh yeah.
So John DeLancey, Roger.
My favorite thing that we do is we mention an actor's name, and then everybody just starts laughing for no reason.
Right.
So Casey Affleck.
Shut up.
Oh, don't go there.
Third time he's come up today.
What did he say now?
I forced myself last week.
What a life you live, having Casey Affleck come up that many times a day.
No kidding.
The other one was on a different podcast. How weird is that?
So one last sequel that I ran across that I have to scratch my head and wonder was Casablanca.
They wanted to make a sequel
of Rick and the whole Casablanca thing. And
thank God that's lost.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Why?
Because of how much money it made.
Now, see, there's re-envisionings of Casablanca that have been done over and over and over, and I normally really enjoy them.
Like the Tasmanian Devil cartoon.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or there's a really weird 90s, like, ski school meets Casablanca called Out Cold that is a tremendous movie with Zach Galifianakis. It's a great film. But why? You don't need to. She needs to get on the plane. She needs to go, and it needs to be done.
Like, so, but that sort of gives a whole new meaning, though, to Bogart's line of, this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship. Does that mean that they were really planning more sequels? Think about it for just a second.
I think there are two different kinds of sequels that get made. Ones that are already in mind in the creation of the movie or TV, the movie, which is what we're talking about. And then there's the ones where the first one made a ridiculous amount of money. So they're like, well, we need to keep riding this train. And so they have to think of something else. An example is the Pirates of the Caribbean trilogy. The first movie was made, they were like, this is going to be a trilogy. And then we're going to be done. And then we know what happened.
What happened?
They made a lot more movies that were not as good. No, what happened, Katie?
So,
if you hold out long enough on that, eventually it goes around the horn and they start getting good again. Same thing happens with slasher franchises all the time.
That's fair.
Dude, Jason X is my favorite one. My favorite one.
So do you suppose they'll ever make a sequel to Star Wars?
So probably not, Greg. Probably not.
Really? Okay.
I wouldn't hold your kids.
I would have liked to have seen one.
Yeah. The other day I'm in the car and my kids will ask to play Star Wars songs on the radio. So I put it on this little playlist. Well, just Star Wars themed music. So like MC Chris's Fetz Vet and
Bushes of Love.
Bushes of Love was on there. And then Yoda by Weird Al came on. Mm. And I hadn't listened to that song in quite a while. And there is a line in that where he's singing from from Luke's perspective. And he says, Yoda says, Luke, don't be afraid of the darker side. Oh, how's it go? It's let the voice be your guide, because remember, if you kill him, that you'll be unemployed. And then he says something about he's going to be playing these parts till he's old and gray. And right then, I receive a message alert that shows somebody sent me a picture of Luke from the new movie, and I just lost it.
Timing is everything, right?
Oh my God, because here he is all gray bearded, and he's going to play that role until he's dead.
So I suppose next thing you're going to tell me is they made a sequel to Star Trek.
Not that I know of.
Okay, that's all I wanted to
say. No, they're still out there somewhere.
Don't want to mess with things.
So
okay?
Speaking of Star Wars, I saw that there were the Black Series. They had the new solicits come out for the new movie. What's the name of it?
Last Jedi.
Thank you. Jedi. And they have Snoke. Yeah. And he's wearing like this gold member style like lounge robe. It looks amazing. Yeah, put the guy in full color and he rocks it, man. He's the Liberace of Sith.
Nice.
Big time.
Very cool.
I wonder if he has the big rings.
Did you see the evil BB-8?
No.
Yes. What? Yes, I saw that today.
Does he have a mohawk?
He's all black.
The article I read was focused on the gender of the whole thing, but
of the droid.
I'm sorry.
Of the droid. Yes.
Oh,
but the it's BB-8, but he's black and silver, and it was it's really cool looking. But Sphero that did the remote control one is putting one out.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Oh, does he have like chrome?
He's
and
cool looking.
Big old tailpipes and stuff.
Awesome ape hangers or something. That'd be cool.
Big Daddy Roth on doing the Rat Fink on
another toy news too. 3A just announced they're doing a 12-inch Shaolin Cowboy.
Sorry, who's doing that?
3A.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah,
it looks good.
Not quite the reaction I figured George would have, but
that right there.
Would you check and see if he's wet?
Oh, he is. Of course
just,
he is.
Just a little.
It's kind of warm up here.
Okay.
It's not the shelf, I don't think.
Sorry. I have to apologize to my wife. I won't be making any money that week.
Yeah. So you got the light bill, right? Cool. Thanks.
And Lego's awesome. Announced a new Ultimate Collector Millennium Falcon for those of you who want to drop, $800.
$800
on a 33 by 22 inch Millennium Falcon with like full details and liftable
functioning
plates.
Holographic chessboard.
That's correct.
Right on.
But we've got one that shoots Nerf darts.
We do. We have a lot that shoot Nerf darts. And then we have the original, which is cool.
Then there's the T-Rex.
There's the T-Rex.
There's a company called Chronicle that is producing.
So there actually is a T-Rex.
There's a T-Rex.
Did you really think he was just saying, no, I have one.
They have produced, and this company I think is located in Texas because they said if you're in Austin, you can just come pick them up or whatever. Mm. So, but they've made 100 fifth scale female T-Rexes from Jurassic Park. So keep in mind, this is a T-Rex. The original model was 45 foot. So fifth scale gives you, 9 foot T-Rex?
Yeah.
He said that about $5,000, but it'd be worth it, right?
I want one for the store.
You could get one for the back cave, Greg.
I could.
To put next to the giant penny.
To put next to the giant. It all circles back.
Where's my picture? It's gotta be around here.
Somebody is the going bat to cave. Make, like manufacture a giant penny to give
it,
to put it
in. Just give it to yeah. Greg.
I gotta tell you though, the T-Rex thing, you guys have all seen the videos of the T-Rex costumes. Where the person, or it's not the T-Rex, it's the Velociraptor, isn't it?
Either way. The one with the legs, or are you talking about the inflatable one?
Yeah, no, the one with the legs, yeah, where it's actually a person's, yeah. That's freaking awesome and terrifying at the same time.
There's a place that, like, comes to Pasco all the, like, at least once a year and has
Jurassic
a big show.
Trek.
Yeah.
My
now,
mom.
Do what now?
It's this little, it's a thing that comes to the track center every year. They have some animatronic dinosaurs, and you get to kind of walk around and watch these, but they also have people in those costumes,
right,
that walk through. And then they have some people that bring out the baby dinosaurs and the little,
yeah, the little hand puppets.
Yeah. That's but so they're cool. Holding them like a baby, you know,
you can't see that on radio, by the way.
I'm just worried about him seeing it. He's
miming a chest burster for those of you in the audience.
No, but actually, my son, that's what he wanted for his birthday last year, was we took him to see that thing. And
that's
him,
so cool.
And it was pretty cool. Like, a lot of the stuff they did was scared the crap out of the kids, so that was fun.
So, speaking of toys, I wanted to make mention of Corey's addition to the studio here, is his little, what is this on your
It's just parapet.
Station.
It's a castle.
What more information do you need, Greg?
I just wondered why he has it kind of pointing your direction.
I need protection.
That's you're gonna that's storm all. His castle.
This is fortress.
It was honestly, like, my initial thought was I wanted a DM screen because I'm comfortable behind one of those, and then I found these and I was like, I better stick those up there.
You only like people to see the top half of your head.
Yep. Well, it's the shiny bit, so.
Yeah.
Blinds them and disorients them, mm-hmm. And yeah.
Speaking,
it's a defense mechanism.
Speaking of lost sequels,
were we
that never happened? I'm still waiting on that one shot of D&D campaign that we were gonna do for an episode.
What's happening? That'll happen.
Oh, I'm so stoked! I'm so excited.
I just can't wait to hear what characters we come up with.
Oh, I know that's gonna be
nice. Cool. Nice. Can you work on that?
Oh, no, it's done. Okay. I'm ready to go.
Can I just be the cabbages guy from the Avatar universe?
Please do.
Only because that literally shows up in every campaign I've ever run. The cabbages guy from Avatar is one of my favorite characters of fiction.
What's the cabbages guy's stats? I really want to know.
George sent me the greatest thing the other day. He sent me a Pathfinder character sheet for Pickle Rick.
Dibs.
I gotta pass this around. You can probably find it online if you Google it. But dibs. Yeah, Pathfinder stats for none other than Pickle Rick, and they are wonderful.
Is that including all, like, the rat parts on him, or is yes, it just yes.
The
pickle?
There's a quantity of the batteries.
Yes.
My wife sent me a text with it, so I will just pass it around here so you guys can look at it.
While he's looking for that other toy news, because I am the disciple of all things Funko, I don't know how this happened, but I just, they dropped two variant Pickle Ricks this week, which are going to be pretty cool, and then my favorite... Spoiler alert, if you're a Game of Thrones fan but have not finished this season.
Wait, hold on. Give it a second for them to pause and then skip forward like 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's all you need.
Okay.
Now everybody just go, oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Are you? That's so lame.
Awesome.
We got to do it now.
Night King riding Viserion. So the dragon with the ice dragon with the Night King on it. So it's going to be really, really, really cool.
Oh, nice. Nice. And I will give a shout out to my my Albus Dumbledore Funko Pop that's keeping watch over the gang this week.
I didn't know we were supposed to start bringing up fun stuff to decorate the table with.
I'll
have to work on that.
Yeah.
I was trying to find a sloth down there earlier.
Hey, you! Radio.
It's got to happen.
All right. So you mentioned Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Season's over. No spoilers, but thoughts. I mean, you're the gut guy around here, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. So George and his
what happened to the Whisperer guy?
Jimmy whispers.
Yeah.
Get a cheesesteak and a Walkman.
I can't even finish.
Is it a fancy Walkman?
Was it a fancy Walkman?
Yeah, kinda. Oh, okay.
There you go.
So one of my favorite characters who everybody hates dies, and so
what, a character dies?
Yeah. A lot of stuff was wrapped up. It ended on a really crazy note where one of everybody's favorite characters may have died. But it was, you know, it's a soap opera with dragons and I love it, but it was a great episode. It was really, really cool. And it was a good ending to a eventful season that had a ton of stuff happen. So compacted and quick that it kind of left you wanting. So there were some sticking points in my opinion about the season as a whole, because it got all jetpacky. People were moving from one side of the continent to the other.
Oh, not really real jetpacks. I mean, no. We're not talking Rocketeer stuff.
They're waiting to bring those until this final season.
Okay, great.
That's the Game of Thrones expansion.
I'm excited.
So is it such a I don't watch Game of Thrones. Is it such a thing that like we could have like this moment at the end of the entire thing where like Sean Bean walks out of like from behind the curtain, slow clapping, like, well played.
Surprise guest spot from Boromir. Sick.
Oh, man.
He also has arrows in his back, just because.
It was all a dream.
Double O Boromir.
So let me ask you, because earlier, about halfway through the season, wasn't it when somebody hacked the server and stole all the episodes and started releasing them early?
Yep, a week early every week.
Did oh that? Do you think that had any effect on anything?
I think no, not really. I mean, people who were going to watch it watched it. I know I was getting texts. No, oh, did you download it? Because I watched it already. And I.
What's that word? Download.
Procured.
Procured.
But so I didn't. I watched them all as they intended to be aired. Not to say I've always done that, but
well, hey, you know, my favorite example of having done that that turned out to be an amazing find was when Wolverine Origins came out.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about.
It's the only way I've ever seen that movie,
and it's so much better that way. I assure you, they released a work print of Wolverine.
Oh, really?
An incomplete work print with the special effects mostly stripped out of it. So you get to see all of the action with the markers, the green screen, the foam claws.
Guys in green lycra suits jumping.
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, my God.
It makes that version of Deadpool tolerable.
At the end? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Now you get to watch the wireframe collapse. It's wonderful.
That is fantastic.
Awesome. Literally the only way I've ever seen that film.
It's the way to watch it.
You know, and they should release that. They, you know, as part of the special.
They did.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, you know.
To try and knock
the internet.
To try and knock off the knockoff?
No. I'm saying they released it ahead of time. It was the same situation as Game of Thrones.
On the knockoff, there was Eurotrip, the movie Eurotrip. The producers of that movie were at the premiere of it in New York, and they're walking down the street, and there's a guy selling bootleg DVDs, and they had a bootleg DVD of Eurotrip.
Really?
That they had, like, from the premiere in L.A., they had a handy cam version of it,
and
this guy had gotten it, pressed a bunch of copies of it, and was selling it. So they bought it and included it in the DVD extras of the regular movie.
My God.
Nice.
So you just go to
special. I think I remember seeing that. Yeah,
you go to the special features and you can watch the entire movie again in really crappy handicap.
That's fantastic.
Well, actually, kind of, not to bring things down, but speaking, we lost Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
R.I.P. One of his, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 Blu-ray that came out has the only existing copy, speaking again of lost works, of one of his, I think, actually his first film, which is Eggshells, which I've never seen. Yeah. I'd like to track down a copy of it because I'm a fan of his other works, you know, Poltergeist.
Podcast at avdunderground.com. You can send Ian a link to find that copy.
Ha-ha. Thanks.
Yeah.
Please do.
That's cool. I think there are so many of those kind of things out there. I absolutely love, I'm a big Willis O'Brien and I mean the original stop motion stuff like King Kong. And now of course the name totally eludes me, the king of stop motion.
Ray Harryhausen.
Harryhausen. It's so fun to sit and watch all of their like original stuff they shot when they were kids. And those have been included on a number of DVDs, not lost episodes per se.
Frankenweenie, the Tim Burton film, yeah, was originally like a short that he, or Vincent was the name of it. It was narrated by Vincent Price, but was one of his really early works that was lost for a long time.
Interesting. Huh. I didn't know that. Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. I don't know why I'm doing a Thriller.
I was about ready to just stand up and, you know, clap my hands and shuffle my way out.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all night. I'm understanding that seasons 3 of both Preacher and Supergirl have been given a green light, which...
I haven't been following Preacher, but I did watch about the first half of the first season, and I actually liked what I saw. I wasn't exactly directly true to the book, but,
no,
but I felt like the changes they made were okay. I was good with it.
It's an enjoyable show. Mm-hmm. I like it.
It'd be hard to do though for, you know, to keep up with the book, wouldn't it?
They pull off some of the stuff you wouldn't expect them to pull off.
Really?
Like
as far as vulgarity and stuff.
Yeah. There's the comic book is willing to go to certain places that I don't think the national television audience,
as you would expect from Garth Ennis.
I was about to say, Garth Ennis goes a lot of places nobody else would ever.
That's really all it needs to be said.
Well, it's like we were talking earlier today about the church scene in Kingsman, you know, which...
greatest scene in any movie.
It was shot so well.
Single best usage of a Lynyrd Skynyrd song in any movie ever.
I dispute that comment entirely and raise you the end of Devil's Rejects.
Devil's Rejects is fine.
Yes, I was exactly going... Okay. Yeah.
That's fair.
One exception.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay. But oh my God.
Yeah.
His intro to that, the little speech that he gives that woman right before he just goes off, is the best thing ever. I won't repeat it on air, but
yes, let's. I don't want to like bleep this, you know, 3-minute piece. That's fantastic. So you guys mentioned we were kind of getting ready to do the thing this afternoon, and comics. You said we're a little light this week in the realm of comics, guys.
Slim Pickens this week.
A little bit. There's some old favorites. There's some old favorites you can't really do too much talking about because it's deep into it and you don't want to spoil stuff. Saga is the one that I'm thinking of, which is at issue 46 now. It's always a time of rejoicement and heartbreak and depression for all of its fans. But it's a wonderful comic that if you haven't read it, the trades are cheap and worth picking up. But not a whole lot going on this week. Sorry,
nothing really new. There's a Darkseid special that came out.
Oh, right. They're doing the Jack Kirby specials.
But in the world of comics, Scott Snyder is doing a really cool thing. He's donating everything that he's getting for scripting Metal Number 2 to Hurricane Relief.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
That's really cool.
Nice.
Which actually, if we can find the thing that he's doing, maybe put that in the show notes.
I think he's just donating to Red Cross.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's something, we can pop that over into the show notes, and that way people can link to it. That'd be great. I did notice there were a few actors and actresses that that dropped the bomb on, $1 million here, $1 million there in relief. The Kardashians, I think, did $500,000, which is about the nicest thing I think I've ever seen out of them.
Well, they did something, guys.
Well, they did something. They did something.
It's just so hard to keep up with them.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Ian wins this week.
That's all right.
Ian wins this week.
Ian wins the podcast.
I'm a fan.
I need a catapult over here so I can just like, trebuchet.
I'll get you some trebuchets going on.
I liked that one.
So I got to ask a question. Somebody on my Facebook posted a picture of, and I meant to bring it to show you guys to see if this was a real thing. It's an Archie's comic that was done with Star Trek characters? Is that a fake? Is that old? Or is it?
They had some variant covers that featured Archie characters on them, but I don't know if they were.
Was it a Star Trek comic or was it an Archie's comic?
You would ask me that question.
I'm pretty sure it's a Star Trek comic that had an Archie crossover cover.
You might be right there. I think you're right there.
I was trying to.
No, it was George Takei showed up in Archie. If I am not much mistaken, I think they had George Takei on there. Corey's going to fact check me, and please do.
Yeah.
But I think it was Sulu in Archie.
Oh, so he was actually playing Sulu?
He was in costume, at least.
Oh, my.
Right, I don't know.
I can't.
I might be. I don't think I'm fabricating any of that, but we'll get the confirmation here in a minute.
Yeah, and if he is, you know, you can always email us and give George the shame finger.
I actually, I heard an interesting quote from
it's Star Trek issue 52, Archie's 75th anniversary variant.
Okay, there it is. There it is. All right. Okay, totally wrong. Thanks, guys.
Michael Okuda. The quote I heard was from Michael Okuda. He was asked by Time Magazine about the Heisenberg compensators on the Enterprise. He's the design guy for Star Trek.
Right.
He was asked by Time, you know, how do they work? And his response was, very well, thank you. Which I like very much.
I did an interview years ago with Michael and his wife, Denise, and they had just released one of the Star Trek manual kind of things, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. talking about how everything worked. And I think one of the questions I asked them was, how often do they get that kind of question, you know, as to, you know, how does this actually work? And it's like, jeez, come on.
George was right, too.
Oh, George was right. Well, there you go. Thank you, George.
We're all happy. But no, Kevin Keller, which was the first homosexual character they had on Archie's universe.
Right.
Gay character, I don't want to say it. Whatever.
Both are okay.
Sure. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know why we get on. Anyways, whatever. Long story short, he came in and he got beamed into Riverdale, guys. And that was a whole thing, too. But anyways, sorry to derail from what we were talking about there.
Wait, so he was actually Sulu?
I don't know. I just found the cover. I never read the comic.
Oh.
Well, you did just read. You did a reading of the comic based on the cover. You scried the comic is what you did.
Yeah.
Is that too deep?
I'm sorry.
George feels very attacked right now.
That looks okay.
It's okay, George.
It looks like Archie.
I appreciate the fact that you were right as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I knew I didn't make it up is all.
You're a valuable part of this podcast, George.
Very.
Sometimes I don't know.
Just don't let the door hit you. No.
Yeah, it closes real hard. Hits me a lot.
Hey, before I get out of here, a couple of quick birthdays this week I wanted to chuck out there. John DiMaggio is 48.
Bender.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jake.
Have you guys seen that movie? The documentary that he did?
I know that voice.
That one thing.
Oh, that was really good. I watched that.
Gears of War. Yeah, that was good.
Gears of War. Yeah.
Oh, no. No, sorry.
I love that. As a voice guy, I enjoy, you know, watching those guys. Michael Keaton is 65 this week.
The Vulture.
Yeah.
Oh, has that title taken the place of Batman now?
Well, there's only one Vulture so far, so.
That's true.
Or Ben King's Beetlejuice.
Yes.
If they'd done like the actual like comic book,
kind of thought that about Iron Man 3
just
though.
I just see Ben King. Oh yeah, no man, you would have to bring up Iron Man 3. I forgot about that.
Man.
And Toby Jones is 50. Anybody? Toby Jones?
Not by name recognition.
All right, everybody would recognize Dobby, the house elf. Was the voice of Dobby, and he has been in a lot of stuff. Captain America, Hunger Games.
Zola. Computer guy.
Right on.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And he's in the new Atomic Blonde. So
that
great.
So
great
good.
Actor. Great actor. Just really enjoy him. Hey, if you've been listening to the podcast, you like it, please give us an honest review and rating. We would sure appreciate that. And we just slapped past 1,100 the other day. So thank you everybody for checking out what we're doing here. It's all right. You can go crazy on the
pantomiming excitement.
I'll bring cheesecake to celebrate.
Silent fanfare.
It's really difficult to see on the podcast. Anything else, guys? I mean, it's awesome. A lot of stuff this week. Everybody's looking at Travis.
You had a thing you wanted to talk about.
What did you want to talk about, Travis?
The Scott Snyder thing was the one he brought up earlier.
No. Yeah, so other than saying hi to David.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Sup, yo.
I'm reading some Marvel.
We'll talk about Spider-Man someday.
Someday.
Nice. Nice. Well, check us out online. We appreciate it. It's always fun to see you guys. Katie, thanks again.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and what are we drawing tonight as soon as we get home? Which
lots
one?
Of stuff and things. Mostly Clive Barker, because that sounds more fun.
Ah, cool. And be looking for the new AU Radio bookmarks coming soon to a book counter near you.
Very near you.
The one downstairs.
Yeah, the one downstairs.
Near, here,
a book counter near us. Yeah.
Travis, thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Always. Ian?
Thanks.
Good stuff. And nice to see Cthulhu on the desk this week.
My little pet.
Be yeah. praised. Cthulhu, yeah, be praised.
My little Cthulhu. Oh, my little Cthulhu. George. Oh,
they look really good together.
Thank you, sir.
You can get stuff made. Mate, I need that commercial. I need My Little Cthulhu.
My Little Cthulhu.
That's next year for the film festival.
I'll
be getting home on my keyboard and working on that one tonight. So
pull that up.
Absolutely. Corey, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right. And you, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. It's AU Radio.
You've been listening to AU Radio. Music is provided by bensound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground and GeeWiz Multimedia Productions. Copyright 2017. All rights reserved.